Good afternoon. Hello, everybody. All right. Now, I know time is short, so I've been away from a printer traveling, so this is what my notes look like, you know, but I realized it went from an hour to 20 to, no, it never was in an hour. Okay, now I don't have time to show you how hilarious I really am as a speaker, but you're just going to have to trust that, okay? Now, as I understood it, the purpose is to kind of encourage a bit, too, about sure. missions work. That's how I understood it. So when I was thinking about that, it just, are you getting an echo? Or should I bring this down? How about way down? Okay, is that better? Is that better? Okay. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, we've all gone to John chapter 4. I'm going to speak very fast here. And I love, like all of us, love John 4. And I love what Jesus said. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields that they are white for harvest. And I would say to all of us, wherever we are, but if you're thinking about the foreign mission field, or you've been out there, you know this, or you're thinking about going, wherever, grace needs to be sown in those fields out there. I'm absolutely convinced of that. The other thing that crossed my mind was I thought of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, where the writer says, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. It goes on in verse 15. And I think of weak and feeble brothers and sisters and that are struggling, but strengthen them and let's make sure that none fall short of the grace of God. Now, here's my situation very quickly. I went to Dallas Seminary. Bob Wilkin and I basically graduated together and both went on and worked on doctorates later and then went our separate ways and didn't have a lot of contact with each other. I was a pastor in Dallas for a while in a church plant. Then I went to Colorado Springs and planted a church with 9 couples and spent 11 years there. And then I got tired. I got very tired of that. It upsets people when I leave, but I tell them there are pioneers and there are settlers. And they're both needed by God and they're both wonderful, but I'm a pioneer. I am not a settler. And so my wife always says, you know, I feel like I've married a big black stallion and I'm tied by a rope and I just am holding on for dear life when I married you. And I go, I'm sorry. It's just who I am. So we go to New Zealand and we left for New Zealand 20 years ago. And the goal was to launch a advanced Christian leadership training program. Because by that point, I had quite a bit of experience as a church planter, a pastor. I had the education. I just had tons behind me, and I thought I could go help young pastors and leaders in this country. Make a long story short, I was going to work at Auckland Bible Church that I had helped plant, be a part of that. The pastor was going through a marriage crash. I ended up having to be the senior interim pastor for 2 years, which almost killed me. But as soon as we got a couple guys back from Dallas Seminary, they took over and I disappeared and I launched this advanced Christian leadership program. And it took a long time to get it launched, to say the least. But finally we did, and over the years we went through several classes and graduated 80 leaders. Now, all that's just to let you know a little bit who I am. I'm married to a beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed Texas cheerleader. And I've got 4 kids and a bunch of grandkids, and that's really my life more than just about anything. But the fields are white unto harvest for the grace of God in the world. I cannot emphasize this enough. Let me put it this way. In New Zealand, I traveled to every point of the map. You know, will you tell me when I'm about 2 minutes away?
I will raise my hand when you're about 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Okay.
I knew every corner of that country. I knew hundreds of pastors and leaders over a period of time. When we launched this Christian leadership training program that had 5 emphases, character, leadership skills and value, evangelism, personal evangelism, basically, ministry / culture, because all their ministries are different, and the grace of God was woven through all of these. When we launched that, there was not and I am not exaggerating, there was not one person in that entire country that I could turn to come into my program and help me teach the grace of God. None. Now, if they heard me say that, they would be offended by that. But here's why. They go, well, we know the grace of God, but they know Reformed grace. That's what they know. One of my best friends is a former, he's partly a Dallas grad. Well, he is a Dallas grad. And then he's brethren. And he goes, Steve, I'm a grace man like you. And I went, okay. And as we talked about it, he goes, I believe you're saved by, grace through faith alone. And I went, okay. And I said, well, what about repentance? Oh, no, you need to turn from your sins, too. And they just carry it on. And what you realize is they are not delivering the free grace message, salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, on the cross alone. Somehow they're going to get, as I preach it, they're going to get their blood and their sweat and their tears up there on the cross at some point or another and add it to the work of Christ. That was throughout New Zealand. So in the program, when it came to bringing grace into the program and interspersing it in our character and our leadership skills and values and ministry and everything, I was the only one who could do it in the entire country. Now, I brought Bob Wilkin in one time. He did an outstanding job. I brought Philip Yancey in one time. He did an outstanding job. So I had to go outside. So what I'm saying is, if you're wanting a place to find a ministry to teach grace, just pick anywhere in the world. And the need is unbelievable. Part of what happened there, I'll give you another example, is in the program finally, it was in the last class, the Salvation Army got wind of my program. And two majors signed up for it. And I wasn't really that, I'm out of touch most of the time with what's going on around me and anyway. And I didn't really know the Salvation Army doctrinal statement. Maybe you know it. But I didn't pick up on it. I just loved them. I loved their hearts, their service, their compassion. When the earthquake hit in Christchurch and leveled the town, no one did any work compared to what the Salvation Army could do. Just phenomenal. So when I had two majors join the program, and I have them part of my captive discipleship group audience for 2 years, I was delighted. I've taught grace one full day of a week. And I'm walking down the stairs during a break, and one of the majors, his name was Neil Waugh. He died of cancer this past October at age 50. We became very close friends. It just broke my heart. Still hard to talk about. But as I'm walking down the stairs, and I'm just walking by his room, he hollers at me. And he says, Steve, come here. So I walk into the room, and he said, I just need to tell you something. Now, I have just finished teaching grace, basic grace, all day. And he says, I've just gotten off the phone with my wife, and I need to tell you, I have been doing nothing but crying the entire time as I've been telling her about this day. This is the sweetest message you've delivered all day long. I've always known it's been true, but it's not what we believe in the Salvation Army. I said, well, let me check that out. I wasn't aware of that. He goes, but this is the message. Now, what happened from there is he just wrapped his arms around me. So I'm invited to his church to preach all the time. I'm invited, which was just on the other side of the big city of Auckland. I'm invited to do conferences for him. Then when he moved down to the South Island of Christchurch, I'm invited to come down there and do conferences and preach. And the great leadership of New Zealand, Salvation Army, all comes in to hear this stuff. And people would come up to me. We had a guy that would attend every conference I did. His name was George Jolly. And he was this tall, and he was this wide, and he was nothing but muscle, and he was the president of the most violent motorcycle gang in New Zealand history. He'd been in prison 3 times, 7 years, 8 years each time. And he'd sit back there, and he'd just have his arms crossed, tattoos, covered in tattoos. Well, he'd come to Christ through the ministry of the Salvation Army. And he'd sit back there and hear me just talk basic grace, okay? Nothing deep like we're getting there. Just the basics. And just tears would stream down. He'd come up to me every time I'd be down at Christ Church and he'd go, if I had only heard this when I was a young boy. I never heard this. And see, I can't even talk about it now without crying. It's so touching. He said, I didn't know God loved like this. I had no understanding of this. No one's ever taught this. So Neil Waugh is crying, conferences, no one can teach this basic anywhere. The Salvation Army, if you look them up, the 11 Articles of Faith, it starts out, we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are given by inspiration. A good start, right? Then another one, we believe that repentance toward God, you go, what's that mean? Then you get to one of the last ones. We believe that continuance in a state of salvation depends upon continued obedient faith in Christ. This is what they teach. So last year, we left New Zealand to move back to the States in November of 2014 to base our free grace teaching ministry out of northern Idaho. We live in the panhandle of Idaho. Don't ask why. Last year, we traveled for 13 months. How my wife was able to do it. A backpack. We're in our 60s. We're in our mid-60s. And she carries a backpack for a year with me. It's just amazing. Well, we were in Paris, and she had to fly back to Australia. We have a granddaughter. And I went to Tenby, Wales for 2 weeks to minister to the Salvation Army. And taught the same basic stuff. And they're going, we've never heard this before. I go to Kenya regularly and teach this. In western Kenya, flying to Nairobi, get on a plane to Kisumu. I'm carried to Siaya, to the villages near the border of Uganda. And I teach this year after year after year. The first time I went there and I taught a free grace conference for 5 days, all of the sea of faces are sitting there. I'm almost out of time. Okay, I'm hurrying.
I'm going to raise my hand in a minute.
Oh, gosh. I'm just going crazy. No. And the sea of faces is out there, and I've been doing nothing but teaching grace the whole time. And finally, some woman raised her hand and said, can I say something? And I said, sure, you can. Just stand up and say it. She goes, this message will not only change me, it can change our churches, but it's bigger than that. This can change the country of Kenya. We've never heard this before. We've all used the word grace, but we've never heard this before. Okay, 2 minutes. Okay, here we go. Indonesia. I did a 4-day conference coming out of Hong Kong several years ago. And 40 pastors. My interpreter was the leader of all these pastors. And when the conference was over, he turned to my friend who interpreted back to me. He said, I've never heard this before. I have been in leadership all my life impacting these pastors and leading these churches. I've never taught this or understood it. And he goes, I have wasted my life. I said, no, you haven't. But now look at what you have and what the life is about, this message. I'm going to Hungary. I've got coming up in the fall, I'll be in Prague, Hungary, and then at Bucharest Theological Seminary, teaching and preaching in the same 3 churches. But I'm back to Hungary at Danube International Church. Do any of you know that church? Ronnie Stevens is a former pastor. And I got this from the pastor who's just replaced him. I can't believe they've asked me because he knows I'm a free grace guy. And Pastor Kevin Conway wrote, I know a lot of guys at Dallas Seminary, and he lists a few, one of them who was the reader on my doctoral dissertation, whom I enjoy reading and listening to a lot. I also recognize there is a fair amount of variety. I would probably not be in much agreement with guys who tend to go to the extreme like Zane Hodges. Could you tell me a little more about what kind of sermon you would deliver before I let you preach? So I told him, I said, I'm safe. It'll be okay. You can trust me. And I'll conclude with that. Here's how you have to be safe. Go to any field you want, and they need grace. You don't even need to ask if they need it. I've never been any place where it's not needed. But when you go, here's my advice. Build bridges slowly. Short, easy bridges into this grace doctrine. There's things you can say. There's things you better wait to say until the time is right. And so I won't go in there and dump all my free grace theology at Danube International Church. But I'm going to go in and preach Jonah and the love of God for the Ninevites and the love of God for Jonah. And I'm going to teach grace like that and just let it lie. Plant a seed. If you go overseas, I know I'm done. Be humble. Listen and ask questions. I've seen more Americans get run out of New Zealand because they came in arrogantly with all the answers. Be humble. Secondly, build trust. That takes time. And thirdly, build those bridges into the grace theology. Be careful what you say on the front end. If you start small, you can get to some pretty big bridges over time. I'm done. Sorry I went over.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, you didn't go over. It's perfect.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much.
Steve is very easy to pronounce. Our next one, Hannah and Edward are easy to pronounce, although I'm saying that might not be their original names, but Hanbotan from Myanmar.
All right. And I'll raise my hand when you got 2 minutes left, too. That's yes, my job. There you go.
Good afternoon again. I'm Edward Hambleton, and I'm really thankful to God for this wonderful privilege to be able to share about what God is doing in our country. If I'm honest, right now I would like to go to the room and take a nap because I've been blessed with the great speaker like Kendrick and Bob and Steve and other preacher. I'm really blessed. We've been here in 2014. We went with full of blessing and understanding the Bible, and we were really blessed. Even now, what I'm trying to say is I heard many great things, many Bible inside, and I want to digest myself. And when I go back, I want to teach to my people there. Thank you so much. I'm from Myanmar. Our country is located between India and China. And we are more than 60 million people living in our country. And we have different ethnic groups. And I really want to talk about free grace teaching because that really helped me personally, help me grow my spiritual life. I was born and grew up among Christian family, but I was away from the Lord. I was using opium for 3 years, literally day and night. And I repent from that and come back to the Lord and went to Bible seminary. And there I learned grace teaching. But when I come back to Myanmar and start teaching in Bible school, I met with my wonderful wife, Hannah, and her father, pastors, and he happened to be Reformed Baptist pastor. So I walked with him closely, and the more I listened to what he preached and teach, and my theology started to change. I believe that there will be a literal kingdom, 1,000-year kingdom on earth, but what he say that there will not be literal kingdom. So my theology started changing. I was a little bit confused about understanding of the Bible. But when we start walking with B.E. Wall, they focus on teaching the Bible, and they focus on making disciple. That's what the Great Commission said, especially when I met with Pastor Arch Rutherford, who is here. And I started to translate for him, and I started to listen what he's teaching, and really strength, encouraged me. And whenever I go back from the class, and I would talk with my wife, and we always have, you know, discussion and fighting, because she'd been to seminary for 7 years, and she knows the Bible, so we were arguing each other. But finally, we convinced this is more biblical in theology. So I start to teach others, like when I teach other people, group border of China, I will talk about, okay, entering into the kingdom, inheriting kingdom is not the same. Do you understand that? I will ask the pastor. They said, we don't know. And in myself, in my mind, I will say, me too. The first time I heard, I really don't understand clearly. But the more I study it, it makes sense. It really helped me understand about those things and helped me focus on making disciples and teaching what the Bible is trying to teach us. Because in Myanmar, most of the pastor wanted to focus only on how to get to heaven. They will teach. And I was teaching in the border of China before, just before we come to the state. And I was drawing the diagram, the picture about, you know, whenever Arch teach, he draw diagram. It was so funny. Whenever we draw diagram, I said to Arch, God might be looking at both of us and laughing because we're trying to diagram eternity within this small page. But anyway, that really helped the people to understand the big picture of the Bible. So I was teaching there, and some of the people were really encouraged. And they came to understand that there is so much to learn from the Bible, not just about salvation, not just about how to go to heaven. So my point is, free grace theology helps us to concentrate on those things, not only going to heaven. There's much to learn about when we get to heaven or kingdom, and there are so many things that help me to understand when I study free grace theology. So I'm really blessed, and I wanted to share this message, this theology, to our people, because there are all kinds of theology spread in our country. So I wanted to teach to those people. So I encourage us to do free grace conferences. We've been doing 11 times, and God been blessing us to pass that information, this theology in our country. So God is doing great thing. Whenever the pastors and Christian leaders came to our Free Grace Conference, they've been blessed. And they went back and they listened to where we are going next. So they wanted to come back and study again. And I'm also teaching while I'm translating for Art. I'm also teaching my own groups. And I'm going to let Hannah to speak. We still have a few more minutes, right? When I teach to the women group, because they wanted to know the Bible more. They wanted to learn men courses. So I'm teaching now the book of Romans. I was surprised. I'm teaching 17 women, including my wife, was sitting in the class when we study Romans. I was surprised. They are so smart. And I was encouraged when they go back, they discuss with their husband, who are pastors. Now they're teaching to them. So I'm going to let Hannah do. Talk about the women leaders in Myanmar, how they are receiving free grace theology.
Thank you. I have many things to share, but we have our time is so limited, so I'll try to be short. when my husband teach women leaders, you know, the book of Romans, they ask a lot of questions from like Romans 5:12, and then how about the wrath of God, and what is the difference between those things like that. So under BE organization, for right now, we are training 300 pastor wives and women leaders in our country for right now. And I also have my own group teaching in different parts of our country. Mainly, we have women leaders and pastor wives. The training center is in big seven cities. So, you know, as my husband said before, Arch teaches the free grace theology. Whenever he came from the training center, we have a lot of arguments, you know, because you know that I was from Reform, you know, background. So, you know, I have many questions to ask him, and then sometimes I ask Arch. You know, because of God's grace, now I understand the grace of God very clearly, and then I can even talk with my mom and my brothers, and sometimes with my father. So I really bless, you know. I'm so grateful to my husband and also to Arch. And even though I have many things to share, that I want to share one thing that 4 weeks ago, before we come here, I went to Thailand to speak in a women conference. And then we were discussing about the grace of God, and then I introduced about free grace theology there in Thailand. And then I asked that, you know, to my students that how many people you know, in this room, if you die right now, you sure that you will go to heaven like this? So I asked the question. And then some raise their hands and some they don't. And then one of the ladies stand up and then she said that, you know what, I don't think if I die right now, I won't go to heaven. And then I asked her why. And then she said, because I commit sins, many sins, you know, than other people. And then I asked her that, what kind of sin? And then she said, I divorced with my husband. And then I cannot forgive him because he has an affair. And then I cannot forgive that woman. And then I cannot forgive, you know, people around me. And then I cannot even forgive myself. So I think that I won't go to heaven. So that is the example. So I, you know, teach her. And then I have two friends who went to Thailand from Myanmar with me, pastor wives. So we teach all of the rest of the women and the men, you know, those who are coming to the training about God's grace. And then they really enjoy it. And I believe that they understand the grace of God and they, you know, they are blessed. So what I'm trying to say is these kinds of, you know, questions are we can see in our country and also in the, you know, our neighbor country. A lot of questions they ask the women because they don't sure that, you know, they don't understand very clear the grace of God. So that's why now we are training in our country, the women leaders, pastor wives, about the free grace theology, and so that they can teach their kids and then their friends, women in the churches, and also, you know, they can share to other people. Because in our country, we have a lot of challenges, especially cultural, you know, influence like this. So lastly, I want to say that all right, for right now in Myanmar, we are trying to reach many people and men and women about the free grace of God. So please continue to be pray for us. And then if you have a question, then we'll try to answer. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave it. We'll have a few minutes left for questions afterwards. Okay. Good.
I don't know about you, the two things that come to my mind is how blessed we are to be at a conference like this. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And the other thing that comes to my mind is good night. We just got to look at ways to get this message just out to as many people as we possibly can all around the world. That's what I think when I hear all these people talk. Our third is my friend Alonzo. He's already talked a little bit. He's from Costa Rica / Nicaragua, and a good friend of mine. So turn it over to him. I'll raise my hand. And what we'll do is we'll leave a. I have a speaking engagement. I got to run as soon as this is over. But you all can stick and ask him questions. You don't need me anyway. So we'll give it like 5 minutes left for discussion, and then you can run over and ask more discussions too. So or more questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me here. You heard a little bit about my life in ministry yesterday, but I was talking with my friend Ken, and he has been a blessing for me and for family in order to not open our eyes, but help us to find what we who we are in Christ. I heard the gospel for the very first time when I was 15 years old, so it was 23 years ago, and In Costa Rica, I born in Costa Rica. It's a Catholic country, so it's not common that you are born in a Christian family. So you must be a Catholic person or non-religion. Costa Rica now, there's a lot of people without religion. They call themselves Catholics, but they aren't, right? So I heard the gospel for the very first time when I was 15 years old for the pastor, a Pentecostal pastor. But he shared the gospel very clear. In fact, it's the same thing that we believe as in free grace. And I started to, that same night, I remember it was in July, a Friday night in July, and I understood the message perfect that night, perfect. Since that moment, I was sure of my salvation, I would never lose it, and I will go to heaven the day I will die. But the time passed on, and I had a feeling in my heart, I had a burn in my heart, I want to be a missionary. So I was attending to a church, and I talked to the pastor. The pastor, I want to be a missionary. I said, okay, that's great. You will go into Guatemala, which they have a Bible Institute there. Then you will come back here to church, and I will send you to Africa, North Africa. And I say, thank you, but I don't want to go to Africa. And there, I want to stay in Costa Rica serving the Lord. So I met my wife there. We got married. We have been married for 14 years. We have two daughters. One's 10 and the other 6. And we went together. We got married in March 2000. We got married December 2002 and lived to Bible college in March 2003. So just get married and go to Argentina for 3 years. We went to a Bible Institute and we learned free grace, but without the name. All the teachings that we had, it's free grace, constantly free grace, but never they say this is free grace theology. This is what we learned that our professor said. And all the background, it was free grace. So when I came here last year and started to learn and read about the free grace, I said, I'm a free grace, and I didn't know it. So for all my life, I have been learning this theology, but I never know it. After we finished Bible Institute, we was working in Costa Rica. I worked as associate pastor in my local church for 10 years. And also, we was leading a Bible center or Bible discipleship center, because Ken was there last year. And our goal is Costa Rica. It's a very Catholic country, or a nominal Catholic country, and the biggest theology is two opposite things: Pentecostal influence, charismatic Pentecostal influence. They lose salvation and all other things. But on the other hand, we have Calvinism. One problem that we have in Costa Rica, but also in Nicaragua, and I bet it's all Central America, Latin America, it's most of the 50% of the pastors, they didn't have a formal education. So there's a missionary in some city in Latin America, from states or from other country. They come, they plant a church, and he choose one, somebody. Okay, you want to be a pastor? Okay, come on, I will train you. And he will train him maybe for 6 months. And okay, this is the new pastor. And this man, he loves the Lord. He has the passion for the ministry, but he don't have the knowledge of the Word of God. So another people come to his church, and he say, hey, I have this book for you. You want to read it? And it's John MacArthur or Pentecostal book or anything, but not a really good book. So the pastor took it. It's easy to understand. He read it. This is my theology. And beside that, there's a lot of YouTube and online resources about all kind of theology. So these pastors get a lot of information, but they are wrong. So our goal in our ministry in Costa Rica, now in Nicaragua, it's we want to train youth leadership. We're working with our ministry. We have around 14 programs in Managua, which is Nicaragua. We moved from Costa Rica 3 months ago with my family. We just crossed the border. It's about 7 hours driving, so it's very close. So we moved Costa Rica's next to Panama, North Panama, and then it's Nicaragua. Nicaragua, as I said, is the second poorest country in this hemisphere, and it's a country of contrast, you know. You can see all the political people, very rich with the huge houses, huge cars, a great lifestyle. But the town, the people suffering without jobs or without even food. So they live according to their abilities, right? This year in Nicaragua will be the election,
and the current president, Daniel Ortega, he has been in the president for the last two periods. So this November, they will have again the elections, but guess who's going to win? He is going to win again.
Yeah.
Everything is ready. And the people is suffering there. So they try to, beside that, the government, there's a lot of natural disasters. They had an earthquake back in 72. The day today, more than 40 years after that, they still remember that day. The people who was living by that time, they remember the earthquake back in 72. Also, the war between 78 and 90. So the people that we have today in Nicaragua, it's a sad people. If you sit down with somebody to talk about anything, I had the chance to talk with a young guy. He's, 30 years old. And we're talking, sad. I'm sad. And why you're sad? Well, because my family have problems with alcohol and with drugs. And my dad is not living with us. And they go to some strange church. So a lot of people, their context or daily living, it's sadness. Problems, sadness. We don't have enough money to live. We don't have we have a lack of education, of jobs. So if you talk with these people, it's just sadness, all the time sadness. So our ministry is getting focused next year in order to start what we call English for Life. English for Life, as you saw it yesterday, it's a program that involves four things. It involves Bible, and of course we want to teach free grace theology, assurance and everything that we were talking. Ministry, we want to equip them with the tools for the ministry. Christian life, okay, you need to have a strong, you need to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and English. So in Justin, when I was waiting outside, the English dean, he's in the state right now, he sent me a lot of material about the English program. And the students who come to English for Life, they will learn the Bible, Christian life, ministry, and English. So can you imagine now a Nicaraguan guy with 20 years old learning the Bible, being instructed in the Bible, but also have the bonus or the extra of the English? He will have a lot of chances to get a better job in Nicaragua or another country, trying to comes out from that sadness that they are involved, but training in the Word. So that's what we want to accomplish in Nicaragua, bring the whole package to this new generation who is raising at this moment, and they are looking for any hope. In that looking for some hope, they're getting involved with a lot of things, maybe a gang, maybe drugs, maybe alcohol, or in some strange church. There's churches everywhere in Nicaragua. You can drive close to my house. Maybe I counted about 10 different kind of churches. Baptists, Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics, and another strange kind of churches that I don't know what they're talking about. So we want to bring all these students. We will rent a house, a big house. They will be living there from Monday night to Friday. 16 students starting next year. So this is Bible, ministry, Christian life, and English. Yes, it's important. And in English. And we will have an all-day-long 24 hours a day with us. We'll have missionaries. We have Americans coming for a month, 6 or 9 months, being part of the ministry with us. So that's basically what we're doing in Nicaragua, and looking forward to, of course, bring the gospel is the most important thing for us. They can grow in the faith, but also we want to give them a tool that they may grow as person and be part of the growing of Nicaragua, trying to bring hope in this all standard that they have.